Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska. And before we launch right into the thick of the program, I want to tell you a little bit about the precious metals people. Who's the precious metals people, folks? You know, it's Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street, right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. That's where the miners sell their gold. But that's not all they do, folks. They also have investment gold and silver in the form of silver ingots, coins, and bars, and then in the form of gold ingots, bars, and of course those coins that we are so familiar with. For example, the American Gold Eagles, which are now available in four sizes. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number is 456-3967. Or if you want to the gold, silver, and platinum prices of the day, the number of their quote line is 452-7858. And if you want a little personal attention, the number once again is 456-3967. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining at 208 Wendell Street.
Our guest on Alaska Gold Trails is David Ochoa, Vice President of University Relations from Alaska Pacific University out of Anchorage. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, David.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be a guest on your program and to have the opportunity to visit Fairbanks. The only question that I had is this recording?
This is recording, yes, sir. It's testing fine.
Okay.
You're on the air.
Well, the reason I say that, I recall that in my own career as a journalist, I spent some years as a correspondent for NBC, a number of times, twice to be exact, that I thought everything was go. And from then on, I wanted to avoid the embarrassment of going back to the barn, that is to say, the newsroom, without the copy. I had a story in my head, but it didn't record.
Well, we would certainly tested the machinery here, David, and you are going out over the airways. And we're kind of anxious to know about you and what brought you to Alaska. David, where were you born?
I was born and raised in a city right out of L.A., right out of East L.A., the city of Pomona. Pomona, California is about 40 miles from downtown. It's an hour drive. It's a suburb of L.A., and I grew up in a Mexican-American community, a typical Southern California Mexican community. There was 15 of us. There were 10 boys and 5 girls.
In your family?
In the family.
And?
I mean, can you imagine if we had been Catholic? Fortunately, we weren't. It would have been 20.
And tell us about your boyhood in Pomona a little bit.
Pomona, California, in the 1950s when I was a kid, it's a very suburb community. It was a community that was growing. All of those communities in California at that point were growing. I got out of high school in 1961. In high school, I was an athlete. I was in drama. I was in music. And I was student body president. Being a Hispanic American is a very important part of my life because it's my roots. I'm proud and I am an American. But I also like the cultural part of me, the language, the art, the being Hispanic of me is important. One thing I like about Alaska is that this is a state where the people here really value Alaska natives. I mean, and you folks have profound roots about your own past. Here you celebrate the pioneer tradition. Here you celebrate the mining. You celebrate the traditions of the environment. This is a state that's unique. I've traveled in many of the states. This state values the Alaska Native. You value the earth. This is a state that values the environment. You value the I learned a term yesterday at the Greater Alaskan Farthest North Press Club. Someone said that I was a chuchaco-er. What's that term?
Chichaco.
Chichaco.
Uh-huh.
So here I am, a Chicano, and now I'm a Chicano Chichaco in Alaska.
Well, in a couple of years, you might rate to sourdough.
Sourdough, that's another term that I learned. But they all say something about Alaska, and so it goes back to my own roots. I got my BA in Whittier at Whittier College in history. I got my law degree from UCLA in 1970. I got my BA in 65. And now, the last 20 years as an adult, I have spent as a news reporter, as a television producer, as an executive producer for NBC. I produced 3 motion pictures, and I've had about 5 or 6 major career changes. And to me, the value of education is that it gives us a greater degree of adaptability to opportunities. So college education doesn't guarantee you success, but it does guarantee you that you will have a greater opportunity to handle opportunities that come your way.
Gives you the foundation that if success should make itself available, that you could take advantage of it.
You can take a big shot at it and make it happen. And now, Alaska, for me, has become as it has for so many persons. It's become a new opportunity. I feel really fortunate to be here, and I just arrived as the new vice president at Alaska Pacific University in July, and already it's a new opportunity. Coming to Fairbanks for the ANF meeting, for example, 2 months ago, was a unique experience. And it planted in my soul that a very important part of Alaska is Fairbanks and the Fairbanks community. And of course, it's true. This is a community that has a high respect for culture, for education. The University of Alaska at Fairbanks is here. My God, there's even a TV, there's even a radio station in Alaska that wants to develop a program on science and technology, something called the Alaska Gold Trail. How does that tell you something?
Yeah. Well, it sure does. We're happy with KFAR's support of this program. David, give us a little bit of your background. You know, you in terms of your association with news and filmmaking and things of that nature, you have gotten a few awards, I understand, as a filmmaker.
I've been able to take a college education and a law degree and to parlay that kind of classroom knowledge into real-world experience. I've spent the last 15 years as a news reporter for NBC in LA. I spent 3 years as an executive producer for NBC TV in New York City. That's at Rockefeller Center. I own a cable TV company in LA, and I am part owner of a production company that produces movies. So in the past, since 1980, I have been involved in producing 3 major motion pictures. The most recent one is the Milagro Beanfield War, which is a co-production with my company and Bob Redfern. Mm-hmm. I produced The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez, which was an Embassy Pictures release. I produced Only Once in a Lifetime. Now, on the TV side, I have 9 Emmy nominations. I won 2.
Oh,
and,
amazing.
And there was a Broadway play on Hispanics, the first one ever. It was called Zoot Suit. And I did that TV show. I did that Broadway play for television. I adapted it for television for NBC way back in 1982. So I've had a lot of luck and a lot of opportunities, and I've been prepared for a couple of them. And when that opportunity came, I've been able to respond to it. So television production and film production have been part of me. By the way, since I've been in Alaska, I produced a half-hour TV special. It was called Promises to Keep, and it was a half-hour update profile on APU, on Alaska Pacific University. And I understand that it broadcast, I believe, on Channel 2 here in Fairbanks about a month ago.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about what that consisted of.
Promises to Keep is a half-hour television program using a magazine format on Alaska Pacific University. For example, a lot of persons do not know that we now have the Center for Polar Research. The Center for Polar Research is something that's new, and it's something that's important. We also have the public the Pacific Rim Studies program at APU. We did a segment on that. At Alaska Pacific University, the traditional image that we have is that we train teachers. We get people a BA or an MA in education. It's changing at APU. The emphasis at APU is changing. We're going to offer degrees in secondary education. We're going to offer degrees in counseling. We're going to offer an expanded program in athletics. We now have 4 major sports at APU. It's changing from the traditional a post that it had the last 10 years. Alaska Pacific University has to respond, as does every institution in of higher learning in Alaska, it has to respond to the growing demand for science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't develop a game plan to respond to the area of science and technology, that means that the future of Alaska will be in the hands of institutions of higher learning on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And if you accentuate that curve, and I think later on in the program we might want to discuss that, if we fail to take advantage of this small window of opportunity to develop a comprehensive educational program that responds to science and technology in Alaska, we're going to miss the boat, and we will have missed for a generation quite an opportunity.
This is your proposal for the future. What regarding this half-hour television program, did it emphasize that particular aspect of
it? It certainly did. It raised the issue of the impact of understanding ANWR, of understanding polar research, of understanding mariculture, of understanding, for example, we interviewed the director of the U.S. Geological Survey, Phil Emery, and he said that the most understudied thing in Alaska today is water. The least, they said there are parts of Alaska where the knowledge of water, for example, is rudimentary at best. Rudimentary is being defined as the late 1800s. He says ANWR does not deal with water. He also indicated that the biggest important resource in Alaska is water and not oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that there isn't a comprehensive water policy. That impacts on mariculture, that impacts on petroleum, that impacts on mining, that impacts on the quality of life. So the promises to keep raise the issue directly on scholarship and research in the areas of science. It also lifted up the issues of human values. You cannot speak of Alaska Pacific University without referring it to an institution of Christian and a values-based education. I have to say, and values-based, because not everyone in our community of Alaska is a Christian. Other major faith groups are here, and they have to be respected. And at APU, we have a philosophy of inclusiveness, of diversity of thought. Academic freedom is very important. Research is very important. And it doesn't have to reflect a point of view. It has to reflect intellectual curiosity and intellectual honesty. And I think that's something that your viewers understand. This is a program on KFAR that has a science orientation, but you cannot have a science orientation discussion unless you also impact and connect it to values. And we all reflect a diversity of values in the university, and the University of Alaska at Fairbanks and APU are marketplaces of open ideas and open discussion. And that's the neat thing about being part of that experience at APU.
David, I want to take a little break for just a minute here, and then I want to get back and ask you about the interrelation with Alaska Pacific University and the University of Alaska.
Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. A couple of years ago, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair, mount, and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. And as many of you know, Gabe's is one of the first people that initiated the no-pass, no-pay policy on the IM inspection. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. That's Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn near Metro Field. Or you can give them a call at 456-6156. Their phone number, once again, at Gabe's Truck and Auto is 456-6156. I always am amazed at the back of the local telephone directory here in Fairbanks, Alaska, where you see the fine advertisement presented by B&L Pawn Shop. B&L Pond is located at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman, and some people say it's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. And as far as I'm concerned, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room for a fascinating variety of items. Stop over at B&L. You're going to find that they have jewelries, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, and winches, and many, many other items over there. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pond. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard about B&L Pond on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna, she'll even sweeten it more. That's B&L Pond, located at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number is 452-6491. Keep that one in mind, folks. 452-6491.
We're here visiting today with David Ochoa, Vice President of University Relations with Alaska Pacific University. David, when we summed up just a few minutes ago, we were talking about Alaska Pacific University, its goals and so forth. How do you interrelate with the University of Alaska system?
We have a great tradition at Alaska Pacific University of having a relationship with the University of Alaska. First of all, the University of Alaska at Fairbanks is the major institution historically in the state. The first four-year institution of higher learning in Anchorage, of course, was Alaska Pacific University. We started that campus there. Subsequent to that, I understand that the University of Alaska at Anchorage began after we began our mission there. We share a common border with UAA in Anchorage. The University of Alaska in Anchorage and APU share the library, a consortium. We share the same neighborhood, the same forest, the same moose. So there's a historical relationship. I've only been here a short while, and I hope that your viewers and your listeners of the Alaska Gold Trails, I certainly hope they'll understand if I'm wrong. But I think that a lot of the relationship between Alaska Pacific University, formerly known as Alaska Methodist University, and I think that a lot of the relationship between us and the University of Alaska at Fairbanks and UAA and the other sister institutions that are connected to the system, I think it's a relationship that's steeped in nostalgia. And if you look at it critically, you're going to find that there is a demand and there is a need that we need to heighten the relationship between APU, Alaska Pacific University, and the total system of the University of Alaska. I think we need each other. I think we both have a mission. I think we both have a market share to respond to in terms of the consumer. And I think there are some things that the University of Alaska can do so much better than we will ever be able to do. We should empower that. And there are some things that we think we can do as a small institution showing great flexibility that you folks can't do because of your cumbersome size. And then there's one area where we must work together where we are not. This whole issue of industry, of science, of technology, of mining, of petroleum, that whole industry is one that requires the energy and the imagination of the University of Alaska and the diversity and flexibility of Alaska Pacific University. Let me give you an example. I just came back from the slope. I visited with the persons responsible for training for the workforce up there, for the petroleum companies. They are required by law to have local work, Alaska Natives. There's a demand to develop a training program for them. Another good example is the Red Dog Project. I'm familiar with that one simply because of I'm a colleague with Willie Hensley. We both went to law school together at UCLA, Senator Willie Hensley. That workforce of Native needs to have basic education in mining areas and mining issues, science issues, and at the entry level. But not just that. The future of that industry and the future of that Native workforce has to have an educational program that's managed and inspired by Alaska institutions. And I dare say that the mining extension at your university, I dare say that the Department of Mining of the University of Alaska at Fairbanks and The other kinds of sciences and earth sciences at APU are not working in collaboration to respond to that need. And if we fail to do that, we just do not fail a generation or an industry, but we fail our future. The future of petroleum, the future of technology and science, the future, its future, is in our hands. And if we fail to respond collectively, then someone else will. Mm-hmm. University of Tokyo, London, they're only a few hours away from here, University of the School of Mines in Colorado, University of California at Davis. And I don't think that's healthy. I think we need to be responsible to our people and to our citizens and to our industry. It's a win-win relationship. So I really think when you ask me, Jim, about APU and the University of Alaska, we always say nice political things that we really have a great relationship. I think it's nostalgic. Mm-hmm. I'm not even so sure it was all that neat and sweet in years past.
Mm-hmm. Do you, in your view, David, do you see in the future that you're going to develop this relationship in terms of technological advances and educational offerings? Are you going to work towards broadening your field and interrelating with the University of Alaska then?
It's very clear that Alaska Pacific University in the area of the sciences, the earth sciences, and polar research, it's very clear that we have to expand that area of scholarship. It's very clear that we're going to have to work in collaboration with our colleagues, especially at the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, the Mining Extension Program, the Mining Department, the Earth Sciences. It's very clear that we're committed to that. And more importantly, our Alaska Native corporations involved in these endeavors, the petroleum companies involved in this area, the mining companies that are involved in this area, have created a demand for us. I think it's good public policy that we do that. And it's something that perhaps 10 years from now, someone will go back and say, we first saw that vision articulated between Jim Madonna of UAF and David Ochoa from APU on something called Alaska Gold Trails way back at the beginning of 1989. It's clear that that's a vision that we both share. And it's clear that it's something that's a doable deal. It's a win-win relationship. So the answer is yes. We think that with the expansion of APU, we're going to get some 200 additional students in the next 3 years. We're developing 3 major new capital projects for buildings and a TV station on campus. We have a new president in Dr. Tom Trotter, and I'm one of his vice presidents for university relations. I think I can tell you quite clearly that the expansion of the mission of APU is to respond in many respects to the growing demand for technology and science, especially in the area of earth science, is something which UAF is already pretty good at.
Mm-hmm. They have a fully equipped department there. They also have a very fine petroleum department at UAF, School of Mineral Engineering, and that's headed up by Russ Osterman, and we also have a petroleum development laboratory there, and that is headed up by Sharma, and these are two well-known people in the petroleum industry, and they have developed a very fine program there. And if I were to suggest anything to you in terms of petroleum and your role at Alaska Pacific University to get in touch with these two people, I think they could give you a lot of insight if you're looking into creating a relationship regarding petroleum. Their laboratories are excellent, and they're new, modern, and up-to-date. So,
the big critical issue that you have, Jim, and you have to add to that roster of scholars yourself. Jim Madonna, you're recognized statewide and in the industry. You've led a number of international missions to New Zealand and China and those places. But The critical issue that UAF, I think, faces and the whole system of education faces in Alaska is not an issue of public crisis and confidence. Quite the contrary. It's making sure that the programs that you have are well-funded, that the legislature, for example, and that the citizenry of Alaska demand that the earth sciences, the petroleum, remain well-funded. And I don't mean teacher salaries. I'm talking about having the ability to travel to international symposiums and convocations to be in dialogue with colleagues facing the same issues on this side of the globe. I mean that research be published. I mean that sabbaticals be given for research and development of new ideas and technology. So there's a very big fear as I come to Alaska that there may be a tightening up of the purse strings in this particular area. You cannot have it like it was in the past. Maybe the humanity will have to take it in the chin for a year or two. But every nickel and dime that we invest in science and technology, in research, in petroleum at UAF in particular, and UAF because you're at the lead point of Alaska in leadership in this area of mining and petroleum, every nickel we invest now and expand, this should be an area of expansion. I'm not running for office, but I am a citizen of Alaska, and I know that you folks can be the trendsetter, or we can say we lost an opportunity because we cut back on budgets.
David, I want to take a break for just a minute for a word from our sponsors, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of this travel to national and international conferences and how they affect the educational community and bring recognition into the state of Alaska and to our educational system.
Folks, do you know where your interior truck headquarters is located? That might just be a good question to have an answer to in case somebody held a contest on Alaska Gold Trails. Well, the answer is who they are, where they are, and what they do. And that is, who are they? Tip Top Chevrolet. Where are they? 1916 Cushman Street, right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Their phone number, and keep this one solidly in mind, is 452-8211. That's Tip Top Chevrolet. And you can also get your quality GM service parts right there at Tip Top. Tip Top Chevrolet is your one-stop center for new Chevrolets, used cars, parts, and authorized service. Tip Top Chevrolet, once again, located at 1916 Cushman Street. Their phone number, 452-8211. And tell Robbie you heard about his support for the mining community right here on Alaska Gold Trails with Jim Madonna.
If, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with David Ochoa, Vice President for University Relations from Alaska Pacific University. David, we were talking about funding and travel to conferences and different kinds of activities held in perhaps on a national and international scale. And it's been my perception over the past several years representative of the University of Alaska at various national and international conferences, that what we gain through exposure at these particular functions is not only bringing our expertise to the forefront so that the people of the United States and other countries can see that Alaska is making large strides in the fields of science, but also we provide the exposure necessary to attract students to the University of Alaska. In addition to that, I'd also like to point out that in attending these conferences, and the public should know this and appreciate this, that in attending these conferences, many papers are given, and occasionally information is provided which permit us to bring back our knowledge to Alaska and enhance our scientific programs. And those are some of the points that I've recognized through these international and national conferences and meetings that I've attended and been fortunate enough to participate in. And I was wondering if you had anything that you might like to add to some of the benefits of conference meetings, not only on the national scale, but also on the international scale.
Well, Jim, as you know, I'm a person from the private sector. And in the private sector, whether it's ARCO or Standard, doing exploratory drilling on the slope, or their scientists doing research back home. Research and development is a very important part of growth in the private sector and national defense. Research and development at UAF and at APU is a part that I call the exchange of dialogue, which can only occur at international and national symposium. We need to have a lot more of research and development of ideas. The primary benefits of that enterprise is the institution itself, the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, the University of Alaska in Alaska, and of course APU. The key issue of sending our professors and our faculties and our researchers and our scholars to international symposia, to China, to New Zealand, to other Scandinavian and polar countries, for example, or Pacific Rim countries, is that they have commonality of issues. The copper issues, the ecology issues, toxicology issues of the copper mines in Chile, the mining of in the Andean belt, including Ecuador and Peru, where I've been, the issues of oil exploration in the bays of adjacent to Mexico, and in the Chiapas, Mexico, of course, where you have new oil discoveries, the kinds of issues that you have in the Persian Gulf, of toxic waste, not just in terms of the ecology, but in terms of planning. We are all bound as a global village, not by communications, but by energy sources. We are all in this together. The men and women that are scholars in petroleum and mining in Saudi Arabia and New Zealand and Japan and in Alaska, we're linked together. So those symposiums are research and development ideas, marketing of ideas and exchange. Those publications are important. The primary benefits for us, though, is that our faculty becomes enlightened, our students become enlightened, and the impact that we have on the industry back at home in Alaska is supported by a multiplier effect of, 10 to 1. That is to say, that kind of knowledge is important in the classroom, but it's also important on the slope and in the mines of Alaska. Research and development at the university is intertwined to research, and to be a first-rate scholar, you need to be a participant and listen and give your papers at international and national symposia. So it's not a thrill or a perk that goes with the territory. It's a must. And an institution that does not encourage its professors, its faculty, to attend international and national symposiums and workshops is an institution that is very short-sighted. And I challenge UAF in particular to make sure, in the areas of science and technology in particular, this is not the time of retrenchment. This is not the time of cutting back. This is a historical time of expansion, especially in the areas of funding for hardline research, for travel, things like the mining extension program at UAF, for example, are supposed to give you a greater degree of flexibility. The question is that really the case? I don't know, but when you have a concept in education of extension, it implies flexibility to be able to take the university where the need is, whether it be the mm-hmm. slope or the Red Dog mine. Mm-hmm. That's something that needs to be done. APU can do it now on a smaller scale, but we nowhere compare to the body of scholars in your sciences that you have. We can compare to the laboratories that exist now at UAF. We don't even come close to the hardware that you folks have. So working together with you, we can be a partner, maybe not an equal partner, but we do know that we're committed to working together, especially in the area of the earth sciences with UAF and the UA system as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that you will be developing then the scientific programs that will interrelate with the University of Alaska scientific programs, perhaps at a lecture level rather than a laboratory level?
I think so. I think we can provide a lot of classroom and basic classroom lecture support to this whole enterprise. The native population, for example, for illustration, use the Red Dog mine. That whole workforce needs to be trained. I think working together with UAF there or at UAF or at APU, we can develop summer institutes, a special winter quarter, to bring those that native workforce to UAF or APU, or send a couple of professors up to Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would benefit a professor to spend a semester at UAF doing some basic instruction in geology, for example. Mm-hmm. He would rub elbows with you. gosh, he might even become, or she might even become, a guest on the Alaska Gold Trail and discuss life in Anchorage and the benefits of being in Fairbanks, as I have found already. Yeah, I think from our end, you're going to our potential for fitting into the mix would be at the lecture level, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Have you had, you like you say, you've been up to the slope, you've visited with the different people, and in fact, as you've gone to school with Willie Hensley,
right,
and Trotter as well.
That's right.
And you had quite a lot of experience coming up, and how is the Alaska experience for you? Have you found Alaska friendly? You said it's very fast. You thought you were going to come up here and you were going to lay back. You got a big shock.
I'll tell you, these Alaskans are tough. This is not an environment where you lay back. I'm a Californian, and I thought the pace would be a lot slower. The people of Alaska are exacting and demanding in terms of their openness, and that is to be complimented. Every state, including Nashville, Tennessee, where I've just spent 4 years, brags about its hospitality. Only one state in America so far has delivered on its hospitality, and that's been Alaska. Alaskans are open. They're warm. Fairbanks, especially, is a community that has a spirit, a heart, and a soul. It isn't a sprawling metropolis of Anchorage. And Fairbanks, for me, is an ideal community where things work, and they work well. I'm impressed with your Chamber of Commerce, with the university. I'm impressed with the newspaper and the radio and TV industry, which I'm familiar with. I'm particularly impressed with the relationships you have with the state and federal government. The military is up here. You have strong relationships with the private sector in mining and petroleum. This is a big laboratory, and it's small, and it's a nicely kept secret. Normally, what I've heard of Fairbanks has been in the kidding sense. Fairbanks and Anchorage are like Los Angeles and San Francisco. They're putting each other down. Well, I think you're winning the battle. This is a neat secret, Fairbanks, Alaska. I really enjoy being up here. On the personal side, I do live in Anchorage. I do work at Alaska Pacific University, and I very much enjoy being there, and I very much enjoy being part of that community at APU and in Anchorage. But I'm learning. By my travels to Fairbanks, I'm going. I've been to Homer, I've been to the Slope, I've been to Juneau. I haven't been to the Bush yet, but I'm learning to like what I see, and it's pretty easy to do that.
Well, that you came up here and recognized that we're a nice community. We like living here. We have a great history. And Alaska Gold Trails, of course, deals a lot with the pioneers, and we bring them on the show from time to time, David. And they tell us their stories of how Alaska developed over the years. We're proud of our history, proud of our town, and you met Dr. Wood.
That's right. What an exciting man. What a visionary Dr. Wood is. We met with him yesterday at the press club meeting, and Dr. Wood is someone who is a visionary educator, an outstanding educator, an internationally recognized scholar. It's just neat to know that the Wood Center, Student Center on campus, is named after him in his own lifetime. He's a person like so many that happened that are commonplace in Alaska that made a difference. And I guess that's it. The neat thing about Alaska for me is it's a place where a person can come and make a difference.
Exactly. You could, your work is recognized. If you work hard, you can contribute to the community, and we're proud of it. We're proud and we're happy to contribute. The town and the area is small enough that what you do does make a difference. And what do you see in your future here?
I think in the short term, both Dr. Tom Trotter, the new president of APU, and myself, the vice president, I think we see in the future a lot of hard work, a lot of spade work. We think that the next 3 years at APU are going to be years where we plant a lot of acorns, especially in the fund development, capital development for new buildings, and in campaigns to draw additional students to APU. I think the next 3 years are going to be work in the vineyard, tilling the soil. And then in the long haul, in 6 to 8 years, you're going to see a dramatic change of Alaska Pacific University with larger students, new buildings, and maybe new disciplines. Hopefully, among the changes that we find at APU will be a growth in the area of research in the science and technology of petroleum, of mining. We do not want to replicate what UAF does so well now in its mining extension program and mining and petroleum programs. We want to be able to do things that work in harmony. Maybe pick out a couple of areas that a small institution can provide leadership in, even if it's only effective lecture, classroom, entry-level things, even if it's only that. So at APU, the last 10 years have been issues of survival. At APU, the next 10 years, it's issues of quality education. Will we focus on two or three things at APU and do them well? That's the challenge that we have. The challenge that you folks have, in our judgment, that UAF has, is will you folks be able, in the areas of science and technology, be able to capitalize on this great demand, especially of Alaska Native workers and locals from Alaska, to have the knowledge that's required to make them competitive in the areas of mining and in the areas of petroleum-related jobs. Will you be able to take a population of Alaska, UAF, and give them entry-level skills, middle management skills, and then scientific and technology skills? That's the great issue that's before the issue of the sciences and earth sciences, especially at UAF. History will tell us that since day one, you've responded to those opportunities. That challenge, again, is before us because of new things that are occurring, new opportunities, new finds. And also, we need to maximize, as you do on the slope, a decline in opportunities in terms of less oil because it's been mined out. What do we do to find new oil or new ways of processing old residue oil kinds of things? Things that I'm not too familiar with, but I'm sure you are.
I want to take a break here for a minute, David, and then we'll come right back and have a few closing comments.
I'd like to take a minute out, folks, and talk a little bit about our friends out there at North Coal. That's Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. He's been in business serving Alaska for many, many years. They've got 14,400 square feet of shop space, which is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. We know Hector's Welding as the place where they manufacture the most efficient multi-channel sluice boxes in the state of Alaska. In addition to building sluice boxes, they can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And of course, as we pointed out earlier, mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized ripples and punch plates. That's Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Phone 488-6432. And when you go out there, tell them you heard about their ad on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna.
By now, you've probably heard of University Resume Service Alaska. Hi, I'm Phil Deischer, owner of University Resume. University Resume Service has been producing custom resumes in Fairbanks for 8 years. We are a professional writing business, and we have helped literally hundreds of people from every trade and profession sell themselves on paper. Professional writing is more than just typing. Indeed, professional writing is a unique skill, the way every profession is unique. Professional writing, applied to your resume, can give you the edge in landing the interview, which could lead to the job you want. A resume, which has numerous uses, usually takes about 2 hours to write. No more struggling over how to sell yourself on paper. In 2 hours or less, University Resume can have you armed with a custom resume and seeking the job you need for the career you want. For any kind of career writing, from resumes to loan applications, federal form SF-171 federal and state applications, call University Resume Service Alaska at 479-5747. For all types of professional writing, we're in the yellow pages under resumes.
Hello, Harold. Hard day at the office?
Oh, I just want to sit in my den and... Marge, is that my den in the backyard?
All but the south wall, dear. That's on top of the car.
But what was my car doing in the den?
Oh, about 25 miles an hour.
I mean, how did our car get in the den?
Well, you turn right at the refrigerator, and it's right through the dining room.
At Baker & Associates Insurance, they know how a little incident can turn into a big expense. So make sure you're well protected. Call Baker & Associates Insurance, your independent agent. They're in the yellow pages.
Oh, Uncle Adam shattered dream. in Marie. Who is he?
This Wednesday and Thursday, KATN Channel 2 and Miller Genuine Draft are putting on Mardi Gras parties at the Roof you'll never forget. To help celebrate, they're bringing up the New Orleans Cajun Boogie of Al Rapone and the Zydeco Express. Tickets are available at Hoyt's Music, Wood Center, Petro Star in North Pole, and Alaska Lanes in the center. Stop by Kradrick's because costumes are encouraged. This Mardi Gras, Boogie with Al Rapone and the Zydeco Express at the Roof.
Making your business our business, ours does it all.
But once again, I want to let our listening audience know who we have as our guests here on Alaska Gold Trails today. We're here with David Ochoa, Vice President of University Relations with Alaska Pacific University out of Anchorage. What, in your mind, is how do you feel about your life in the future in Alaska? Are you going to be content with this weather change? Has this been a kind of a climatic and social shock to you? You like the people. Do you like the weather, David?
Well, at age 45, I'm doing things I've never thought I would do. I'm taking a lesson at APU on cross-country skiing. In Anchorage is a place called Hilltop, and I've taken two lessons on downhill skiing with a lot of little toddlers there by the hillside. And just 2 weeks ago, I went up on the ski, what do they call it, the ski lift, where you have a chair, mm-hmm. They take you up the hill. Well, I came down four times. Twice I rolled down, and twice I came down on skis. So I guess I can tell you that I came here in July, and I've had time to do fishing. Mm-hmm. And I visited Homer recently, and it's a beautiful community. I've been to Fairbanks twice, and I hear the sunshine up here in the summer,
mm-hmm.
Which we don't have in Anchorage at all.
All night.
I'll take it. And Anchorage, of course, is cloudy in the summer. I think I'm very excited about being in Alaska. I like the people. I like the weather. This is my first winter, and mm-hmm. so far, it's like all the winters that I've had in New York City. Mm-hmm. In New York City, when I worked for NBC, I'd be at work at 7 in the morning, it was dark and cold and freezing and snowing, and I'd come home at 5, it was dark and cold and freezing. And so Alaska the same way. I mean, it's the winter here may be longer, but the net effect is that and even in the outside, if you have winters in Detroit, they're cold and they're long and there's no sunshine. The sunshine that you have in Detroit and New York City, you know, it's in the morning and early afternoon, just like it is here. So it's no big deal so far. Mm-hmm. No, I've loved so far. The only thing I don't like about driving in Fairbanks and in Anchorage, and that is, of course, the icy conditions. You have to be
I don't think anybody likes that, David. Right. You know, a lot of things happen in the winter time here that make for an unhappy and unpleasant situation. You're a family man.
I have a daughter who is a freshman at New York University.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son who works for NBC in LA. And as you saw in so many of the film credits, my wife is a director-producer in television and film. So the Ochoa family has shared a career in communications.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a career that has given us a lot of opportunities and skill. Little did I know that raising money to develop films and to produce films, raising money to do that is a skill that could be used in higher education. My primary job is to raise money for Alaska Pacific University. We depend on gifts from individuals. We depend on endowments. We depend on grants. But by and large, the primary source of dollars for APU has been persons like ourselves that listen to this program, persons like you and I who make contributions over the years to APU. APU is not a publicly funded institution like UAF. So we have to depend on tuition, endowments, and gifts. And we have a goal of $1 million for annual budget for this year. And I want you to know we're ahead of schedule and we're on track and we're going to make it. That's the good news. The bad news is that maybe next year the boss is going to raise it to $1.4 million. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have to work even harder to do it. But I'm optimistic about the future of the APU, and I'm very optimistic about the future of Alaska. I think we bottomed out in terms of the economy. I think we're going to have to be more frugal with the resources that we have, both human and natural resources, and husband those things and make decisions now that will pay off for us when we have another down cycle after the next boom period.
Well, David, I want to thank you for participating on Alaska Gold Trails, and I also want to say that when you go back down to Anchorage, don't forget about us. Keep in touch. We'd like to keep in step with you. And if we can be of any assistance, let us know. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Jim.
The preceding program was pre-recorded for broadcast at this time. You're in tune to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska. Alaska Standard Time in 5 seconds, 2 o'clock. ABC Information News is next.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. Oliver North's trial is going to begin on Monday. Opening arguments were to have begun today after the jury of 9 women and 3 men was seated, but there was a hitch. Judge Gerhard Gesell ordered a recess in order to give the Federal Court of Appeals time to rule on a request for the Justice Department to make it harder for North's defense to divulge classified information during the trial. Well, the appeals court has now ruled. It's on the judge's side. It said no to the Justice Department, so the North trial can proceed next week. However, the Justice Department is not giving up easily. Assistant Attorney General Edward Dennis says the department will continue the appeals process in an effort to keep secret information secret.
The risk to national security would be significant because we would not know, we would not have any assurance that there would be a controlled and authorized disclosure of very sensitive classified information. It would be a complete crapshoot.
But the bottom line is that the Oliver North trial will get underway next Monday. More news after this.
Hey, Merlin.
Hi, Bert.
I sent Denise your red-hot idea for Valentine's Day.
She'll love those red-hot cinnamon candies.
Candies?
Bert, you did send the FTD Candy Hearts bouquet, right?
No, I sent red-hots. 4 kraut, 4 chili, and 4 relish and onion.
Not Red Hot Hot Dogs.
No.
The FTD Candy Hearts bouquet is beautiful fresh flowers.
Flowers.
In a colorful ceramic bowl.
Uh-huh.
With delicious red hot candies.
Candies.
And Bert.
Yes, Merlin.
When you send FTD flowers.
I know.
The feeling never ends.
My way, the heartburn never ends.
Money. That's what you earn every time you use the Discover card. The card that actually pays you cash for every charge. Up to 1% back every year based on your annual purchases. And while this may not sound like an awful lot, just remember what the other guys give you. It pays to discover the card that pays you back.
President Bush is going to unveil his budget plan during an address to a joint session of Congress tonight. Here's a preview. Maybe he's Vic Ratner.
This may be the night the honeymoon ends. If George Bush's new budget outline contains anything like the drastic cuts in domestic programs of the Reagan era, the difference is that Mr. Reagan sat aloof while Congress all but ignored his budget, while President Bush has already told key leaders he plans to be actively involved in what he calls some serious budget negotiations. House Budget Committee Chairman Leon Panetta told me tonight will tell if the Bush administration is really a new breeze or just an echo of the Reagan legacy. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
Look for the president to propose no new defense spending while he calls for more money for a number of domestic programs. The UN Security Council is going to meet tomorrow to talk about the violence in Israel's occupied areas where hundreds of Palestinians have been killed by Israeli troops during the past 14 months. Almost all the bodies of those people killed in the plane crash in the Azores have now been recovered. 144 died when a chartered jet flew into a mountain, and authorities say the cockpit voice recorder has been found. It may help explain why the pilot flew the jet right into the mountain. The Soviet news agency TASS says fallout from the nuclear disaster at Chernobyl almost 3 years ago contaminated one-fifth of Belarusia to the point that officials are monitoring the health of more than 300,000 people in that area. In India, a fire broke out during the taping of a show at a television studio. At least 36 people reported killed, and one of India's best-known actors was seriously burned. Hey, partner, if you watch all four nights of the miniseries Lonesome Dove, it sure got great ratings, but Lonesome Dove ranks 14th on the list of all-time highest-rated miniseries in television. Those top three, the top three TV miniseries of all time were, first, Roots, then The Thornbirds, then Winds of War. But don't be surprised if there aren't more Westerns in television next season. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones closing down 20 points at 2323. This is ABC News.
Here's why a growing family feels better with State Farm. There's a new voice in the nursery. The house feels a little smaller, the car a little tighter, your family's growing, and you wonder if your family insurance is still doing the job. But with State Farm, you have an agent who keeps in touch to help you keep all your coverages up to date with the family insurance checkup to help you make sure the coverage you need will be there.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Doug Limerick.
When a teenager has an alcohol or drug problem, it's amazing how the parents can be totally unaware of it. Well, maybe they do know, but it hurts too much to admit. Or maybe they are being completely conned, because alcoholics and addicts are the best liars in the world. And kids who are drinking and drugging are especially good at fooling their parents. And themselves. Milam Recovery Center's adolescent treatment program involves the parents and the kids, because it's a family disease. A parent joins the boy or girl for the first week of 4 weeks inpatient care at the Milam facility in Seattle. After the fourth week, the teenager is sent on a 21-day, 120-mile wilderness trek in southern Idaho, and the positive effect of this experience is absolutely fantastic. Afterwards, it's another week at the Lakeside Milam facility, then 44 weeks of outpatient follow-up right here at home in Fairbanks. It works. It's affordable, covered by most insurance plans. So if your boy or girl is drinking and drugging, stop kidding yourself and stop blaming yourself. Call Milam. We're in the book. M-I-L-A-M, Milam Recovery Center. We put families back together again.
Hello, everybody. Johnny Holiday reporting on sports. Dan Henning is back as a head coach in the National Football League. Henning, the one-time head man in Atlanta, was named today as the new coach of the San Diego Chargers. He leaves the Washington Redskins, where he coached the quarterbacks. Henning gets a five-year contract with San Diego, replacing Al Saunders, who was fired after last season. Coach, will there be an adjustment from the NFC to the AFC?
I was in the AFC at Miami for 2 years, and then with the Jets for 3 years prior to that. Now, that's a few years back, but, you know, we, because of the schedule, you're in and out. Of course, I know the NFC better, but I'll know the AFC.
Henning is now reunited with a couple of former Washington assistants, special teams coach Wayne Sevier and quarterback coach Jerry Rome. And Henning looks forward to the challenge in San Diego.
The organization here contacted me about this position, and I visited with them, and after listening to the whole circumstance of where they are, where they want to go, and how they want to do it, that was the attractive part for me.
In college basketball tonight, there's a good one coming up in the Big Eight. Fifth-ranked Oklahoma takes on number three Missouri in Norman. The Sooners, led by Stacey King and his 25-point-a-game average, tops in the conference. To win tonight, King feels Oklahoma simply must go out and play their...